Welcome to the Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name is Marcus, and we're back for the sixth preseason episode of 2015. And this week, of course, FB Donkey's joining me once again.
G'day, mate.
And we've got a special guest. Faz is back on the show. Welcome back, Faz.
Hey, g'day, guys. Thanks for having me back on. It's been following along with interest over the preseason so far. It's good to be joining you guys this week.
This week, we're talking about the Rucks, guys. So we've fielded questions from Facebook and Twitter, as we do every week. Our social media handles are facebook.com/supercoachcoach and @supercoachcoach. So thank you to you guys. Also, just want to preemptively shout out to our community. We are currently sitting on 2,999 Twitter followers, but by the time this show actually goes out, we'll probably have hit 3,000 Twitter followers and 1,500 Facebook fans. So thank you all very, very much. And by the time this is out, there will be a competition on our Facebook page. We're giving away a prize, an AFL Live Pass subscription for the year, so you can catch every single game on all your mobile devices. Just as a bit of a thank you to you guys. So head over to facebook.com/supercoachcoach to check that out. For the rest of the preseason, just to rehash the schedule before we continue the show, next week we'll be at the halfway mark of the NAB Challenge Series, so we're going to do a halfway review. The week after that, we're going to head to the back line. That's the last position that we have. And then the final week, we're going to be rounding off with the full NAB series review and then a final recap show so that you're ready to set your teams for season 2015. Before we head on to the actual discussion for the week, how did you guys enjoy your footy this week? Catch many games?
Boring.
Boring, Mark.
I thought I'd be excited to have footy back, but they're just playing the kids. It's not like real AFL. I don't remember being less interested in any NAB games in the past. They're just completely meaningless, and they're just playing some rookies.
Yeah, I got to admit, Mark, I sort of felt the same way until I saw the boys run out in the Geelong colours, and then things got a whole lot more exciting. But to be fair, that game also, I think we ended up only 2 goals behind, something like that. So it was a lot closer match and a bit more exciting than the previous games. But in general, you're right, Mark. I'm not sure if there's too much to be gained. There's so many missing pieces involved that, you know, all those Supercoach points that are being awarded probably won't be there when the season rolls round. But, you know, it's good to at least have some footy back. Faz, how'd you enjoy it?
I'm just a bit worried about what it's going to look like seeing a bunch of unfamiliar faces run out for Essendon this week against St Kilda, I think it is. So It's going to be a weird experience for all us Essendon supporters, eh, Mark?
I think that's one of the reasons why I was a little bit less interested than normal, is that I don't really even have the Bombers to look forward to.
So everybody else is probably up and about then, hey? Amp up the energy levels a little bit and head on to the Rucks then. This week, we're going to start off with the forward Ruck options, players like Ryder, Lysette, Bell Chambers, before looking at the more expensive ultra premiums and talking about the strategic decisions between picking ultra premiums and mid-prices this year. And then, of course, look at more tasty mid-prices, Mark, as we've been doing all preseason long, it seems. Just before we jump into the show, a last call to the veterans applications. Mark, we're going to close them next Monday, so you only have a few more days to get those applications in. We've already had quite a few new members join us on the vets, so it's been great. So last call, send those vet applications in. And again, that information is on supercoachcoach.com.au. Also, another last call, next Friday, we'll start forming the ranked leagues as well. So if you want a shot at Division 1, make sure you register your interest before next Friday, because that's when we'll start forming the Division 1 leagues. And that gives us about 3 weeks to quickly rush everybody into leagues ready and set for season 2015. Okay.
Let's get into it.
Bob Blog. First question from Twitter. Thank you, Bob Blog. Forward Ruck options. You guys are doing a great job, by the way. Thanks, Bob. First guy we'll probably talk about is, unfortunately, Paddy Ryder. Hate to start with the heartbreak, but he's the most expensive one. So averaged 101 last year. Have mentioned him already. Maybe we'll start with Faz, a new point of view.
Again, be weird to see Paddy running around in the teal rather than the red and black this year. A little bit uncertain as to how he and Lobie will be scoring together. That's obviously something that we're not going to even get a look at over the preseason, because I think Port have said that Paddy, along with Monfries, are going to be sitting out the preseason, as with the Essendon players still at Essendon. And I think they've kind of recruited him as more of a forward to pinch hit in the ruck than a sole ruckman. I think Lobi has that role pretty down pat, and I think of the two of them, Ryder's the better forward and Lobi's probably the better ruckman. As I guess you guys talked about in the forwards show, key forwards are something to usually look away from in Supercoach. Again, we'll talk about this a bit later. He's quite highly priced given he scored well last year, and could all just be bias. Mark, I'm guessing you're a big fat pass as well.
Not talking about him.
All right. I've established that with Mark a while ago, so we'll move on. Scott Warwick has asked about Lysette. So we watched him play on the weekend, so it was good to see him run out. And he seems to actually really relish, of course, Nick Nat not there and Cox obviously retired. Attractive mid-price option with that forward ruck eligibility, and we were talking about using that as an important strategy for covering short-term donuts in the rucks. We were also saying that didn't really look like there were many other forward ruck mid-price options or even premium options, so it's good to see another one pop up. Does that sort of increase the microscope that you put on him, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm definitely seeing his name bandied about a lot, especially with Sinclair getting a hand injury that'll keep him out for a little bit, maybe the start of the season, and Nick Nat suffering a little bit from a back injury in the last couple of weeks. So I think that if Lysette ends up being the sole ruck at West Coast, then he's going to turn out to be an awesome pick. But that's assuming a lot of different things. I think a lot of people were interested at the start of the preseason. He's never really been on my radar, though.
$418,000 does seem like a lot of money to pay for a player that needs to break out. Treading with a little bit of caution, but very open to picking him this year if he shows a good preseason, because these ruck forwards is going to be probably pretty crucial this year, and there's really not many of them at all. Next guy that we're going to talk about, question comes from Brendan Colley, and it's about Bell Chambers. So we finally get to him. We had so many questions about him, and I think Mark has not stopped talking about Bell Chambers since day one. I think 5 preseason shows, this is the 6th. This is probably 4 episodes, I reckon, out of the 6 he's been mentioned. So big fans here, big fans of the strategy, obviously. Has anything changed since then?
Yeah, a little bit, in the sense that I've actually had him sitting at my second ruck position a bit lately, ever since Cruiser went down. There's just so many forwards that I really want to pick that to move him into the rucks a little bit. But realistically, he's probably more likely to end up starting as a forward, and I'll try and take the cover. But I guess it really depends on the Asada thing. We're not going to see Giles and Bell Chambers play together in the preseason unless some sort of verdict is handed down quicker than we think. Yeah, Asada's the main concern there.
Okay.
So you'd want to have a backup strategy in case that doesn't go how I would like.
Yeah. So Faz, Mark actually alluded a bit to Brendan's question, more specifically about Bell Chambers starting as a second ruck instead of a forward. Is Bell Chambers in your side, and is he in your ruck line or your forward line at the moment?
Currently, I've got him lined up in the forward line. I kind of like that as a bit of cover for the fact that we've gone down to one bench spot in the ruck line. Feels a bit exposed, and you know, we're not really going to be talking much about rookies today because it's too early to say, but early signs are that there's not much going in terms of ruck rookies. I'm not 100% sold on Bell Chambers' scoring potential, given that his top average was an 86 and he had 81 the next year, so I don't think he'll be getting up into that huge scoring that we've seen from some of the other real elite premium ruckmen, but I'm willing to probably cop that given the safety net it gives me.
My view of Bell Chambers at R2 is probably that if you're going to do that, you'd be wanting to start with a ruck forward also at R3 as your backup option, so that if you need to cover a donut in your rucks by trade, then you'd be able to forward into your rucks and be able to still use Bell Chambers together with your new ruckman in order to dodge the donut. If you don't start with that third ruck forward and you start with Bell Chambers, if you want to swap a forward into your rucks, you're going to have to swap Bell Chambers out and you lose him as cover. So very, very strongly suggest starting your R3 as a ruck forward, and Mason, Cox, Tom Reed, there are a few there. We won't talk about the rookies, as Faz said, yet, because we need to find out a bit more about job security and how they play over the preseason, but we'll get to that in our final NAB Cup review. Next question is from Darren Fowler on Facebook. Darren Fowler's question is actually related to having a higher price bench player in the rucks. So what do you guys reckon is the better strategy, to have a ruck forward covering your ruck line, or would you actually prefer to spend the cash and have a reliable guy in your R3 providing good cover?
I'd love to get an example of who that player might be. Like, are you putting belt tapers in that spot anyway, where you're spending $300,000? If you're spending $300,000 on him, you may as well get him on the field. I think that I'd rather just take the risk and have to trade in my rucks than have $300,000 sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with you there, Mark, because $300,000 is way too much to have sitting on your bench, I think. And just having a quick scan through the options there, the only guy I can even see who played some games last year was Jack Hanneth from Frio. And he's a young key position forward, so I don't think he's going to be scoring well or have terribly good job security.
I can imagine if we keep the three ruck set up next year, that there could be a ruckman that you would do that with that was about $220,000, but that ruckman just hasn't presented themselves this year, as far as I can see.
And that's one of the frequent dilemmas that comes up with super coaches. Do you force strategy, or, you know, do you pick players first? I mean, I think we very much sit in the camp of picking the right players for your team rather than forcing a specific strategy or setup for your team, because that probably leads to a bit of wasted value. So I agree with your assessment. So next question is from Tono_ASZ, and we're moving on to the ultra premiums now. He's asking about the new scoring effect on ultra premium. So we'll briefly just explain that. Hitouts to advantage this year are worth 5 points, but we no longer get points for hitouts that don't go to advantage. So hitouts no longer generate 1 point automatically. They have to go to advantage to actually score 5 points. And there's a little bit of murmurs around the community that that may not be the only change that's actually affected by champion data, because they measure so many different things in a game, but that's the only one that they've told us most definitively.
The main reason that they've said that they've done this is because there used to be like 50 ball ups a game, and now there's about 70, and the rucks were just getting a disproportionate amount of the scoring compared to the influence on the game. So they're trying to make it a more realistic assessment of how much influence the ruckmen are actually having. And so that's the reasoning behind them potentially just lowering the ruckman scores a little bit.
So with these score changes, Tony wants to know whether we should be starting a set and forget style premium, or we should be starting a value option and be looking to upgrade or keep those guys.
The problem with starting a guy like Sam Jacobs, who had an absolutely great year last year, is that you're paying top dollar, $620,000, for a guy who had his best year of footy possibly in his whole career, all Australian, and that was with the old scoring. So now that we have this new scoring, I don't know if he's going to be able to get even better to make up for that drop in scoring. If he has the same numbers in 2015 as he had last year, he won't score quite as highly. So in a sense, you've lost a bit of value by paying top dollar for Jacobs.
The flip side of that coin would be somebody arguing that if he's going to be the top scoring ruckman anyway, and most ruckmen come with an inherent deficit this year, then, you know, why not just start the best guy and lock that in for the year? I think it kind of just depends on your team structures and how much money you're willing to spend in there, and also what you value in your team. Personally, I've been banging on about value literally nonstop this preseason, so I'm going to be probably steering clear from these expensive premiums because they have, like I said, inherent deficits with their price points because of the scoring changes. So I'll be looking for pretty much a all mid-price ruck line if I can achieve it, unless I can find an underpriced ruck like Nick Nat, which Mark and I both locked away as an early lock in the first preseason show. Where do you sit on this, Mark?
Look, I think that this is the main reason why people are going to be listening to this show, is the answer to this very question, and it's whether they should be just lock, set and forget in the rucks, or whether they should be going value. And in the past, we've probably lent towards a bit of a set and forget approach, but this year, as you've suggested, because of the rule changes, we're a bit more open to pursuing value in the rucks. I think, as you've said, Nick Nat's a lock for me. So entire preseason so far, I have had a mid-price as sitting at that second ruck position. Doing the research for tonight's show has potentially made me lean a little bit more towards starting one of these super premiums, in particular Jacobs, Goldstein, or Marek, those sort of type of players. I think especially the Goldstein and Jacobs, that if they can get through 22 games, they might end up turning out okay. Goldstein averaged about 125 on the run home last year. He is priced at 106. Even if he lost 10 points from the ruck rule changes, I think that he potentially has 10 points of improvement left in him, and he's actually shown that in the past with two seasons over 113. So look, they're durable, they're high scoring. That's sort of making me potentially lean towards picking one of these guys in the rucks this year. And also the fact that it'd be interesting to see comments from you guys on the rest of the rocks that we're going to talk about. There's not a lot of mid prices that I'm actually that interested in.
I think I noticed that's the primary shift since we first started the preseason shows, is that early on in the preseason, you start off by looking for value, because a lot of time big value players can help define the structures of your team. And also, we haven't seen really a lot of preseason, so you get attracted to a lot of value. But as the season progresses, most people tend to trim their team down to more of a guns and rookies approach, and that's come true probably in the rocks again. Like you said, Mark, there's not many mid prices that are looking attractive, because as the preseason wears on, you know, the question marks start bobbing up, and as a result, we're looking more and more toward the set and forget. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires over the next few weeks and where we actually land on it. Just in terms of where we sit today, Mark, where do you sit on this right at the moment, mid price or premium?
I'm looking at value with Nick Nat and super premium at the moment.
Wow. Big spender.
I still haven't found the money. And I guess, like, the question then gets posed, so if I had Bell Chambers as my second ruck, then it becomes like a Bartel versus Goldstein or a Goddard versus Goldstein, and that question becomes quite difficult.
I am probably still on the mid-price bandwagon, and
we know.
And I'm likely to stay that way, Mark. I'm likely to stay that way. All right, moving on. We'll actually start talking about these premium rocks now. So Jacobs first up. Obviously, last year, premier rock of the competition. He averaged 11.7 hitouts to advantage for the year. So that equates to 60 points a game just from those hitouts to advantage. 9.7, 8.5 the years prior. He's probably the leading contender, with most people looking at hitouts to advantage being a key indicator.
Yeah, I quite like Source. He's still quite young, I think, only 26, which for Ruckman is, you know, 18. And I also am pretty hot on Adelaide this year. I have a feeling that Phil Walsh has inherited quite a good team, and they should be moving up the ladder, definitely. I think they've been the underperforming team of the last 2 years, and I expect them to be pushing up well into the top eight. If they're winning a lot of games, I think that should help Jacobs' scoring quite a bit.
Wrote him last year. He seems very fully priced, and I think in the past we've seen a ruckman really dominate a season and then really struggle to back it up. We even saw Jacobs do that 2 years ago. Look, I think he'll score really well this year. It was awesome having him last year. Just seems like a lot to pay for a ruckman considering the rule changes.
Yeah, we could not get enough of him last year. He torpedoed our league right to the top. That despite preseason flagging him to everyone and people having their doubts on him. So there's not too many people that would love Jacobs more than Mark and I do. But yeah, I actually agree with you, Mark, which I think is probably a pretty controversial opinion, because with a lot of people looking to set and forget and Jacobs recognized as the premier tap ruckman in the competition, a lot of people are looking to him. But, you know, I do agree with you, Mark. Overpriced. Next guy that we're going to talk about is Toddy Goldstein. His stats for hitouts to advantage are surprisingly huge. 8.6, 10.9, 10.4 the last 3 years. So this guy regularly averages 50 points just from his hitouts to advantage. Mark, North Melbourne, pushing for the top four. Toddy Goldstein.
God, I hate North Melbourne.
No.
after round 12 last year, he had 3 scores over 160. 2 scores below 100, which were 95 and 98. He struggled at the start of the year with a bit of an injury and then hit form by the middle of the season. Would not surprise me to see him continue on with that and dominate this year, especially if North do well. Got an improving brigade of midfielders around him, which might even increase his hitouts to advantage.
Yeah, bit of a pro tip, everybody out there. Normally, the high-scoring ruckman, you can actually look a bit to the midfield to see how they'll go. Jacobs obviously has a really good connection with Sloan and Dangerfield. Sanderlin's with Fife. Goldstein has a raft of clearance players, often meaning that average hitouts are often classed as two advantage because of their awesome clearance players. So that's certainly something to look out for when you're picking premier ruckman. So I like probably Toddy Goldstein a little bit better than Jacobs as an option. Also like that he's playing for a team that has potential to improve. Next question from Tomcat. Please help me. I'm being tempted by Mumford again. So I think we do seem to talk about Mumford every year on the Supercoach Coach podcast. He's the second most expensive guy this year at 114.2 average from his season last year. So he actually smashed out quite a big season in the end, although he missed 5 games and is quite an injury risk. Had 7.0, 6.2 and 9.9 hitouts to advantage over the past 3 years. Mark, we've fallen a fool for Shane Mumford before. How do you reckon he'll go this year?
Tomcats, who asked, is a very, very good coach, so she must have good reasons for doing so, but no, the hit out for advantage stats just completely rule him out. Like, he's likely to be the most affected in a negative way amongst the top ruckmen. Started massive last year, but yeah, I just think that he's very, very fully priced. Huge injury concern. I really haven't considered him since the rule changes were announced.
4 years ago, he did average more than 10 hitouts to advantage. So he has had two seasons pretty much averaging 10 hitouts to advantage. That is a lot of points. I do understand where you're coming from, Mark. But I think I'm not as quite turned off Mumford as you are. Just by sheer weight of numbers, he seems to actually just eke out the points. And of course,
weight of numbers, do you mean the number on the scales in the morning when he weighs himself?
Look, His size comes to advantage around the grounds, Mark. You got to admit that. And that's one good thing that you can count on Mumford. You know, we talk about decreased points. Mumford is one of those guys that will actually get points around the ground and continue scoring elsewhere. So that's something to consider as well.
And if the Giants do have a good year, look, I can see him doing really well. And he could really burn me for saying no so easily because he could average 150 over the first five rounds. But
not for you. All right. Next guy we're going to talk about, Wooly Wallace wants to know about Ivan Marić. Marić averaged 99.7 last year. I have picked him in a year where he completely crumbled. I think it was the year before and been burnt bad. So I've been a bit hesitant to go back there, as you normally are with players who burn you. 8.8, 7.5, and 6.0 in the last 3 years. So a bit of a downward trend there, but of course injuries playing their part. Faz, what do you reckon about Ivan Marić? Can you convince me otherwise?
I just reckon the fact that he had such an interrupted start to last year and still managed to pull out, what was it, a 99-100 average?
Mm-hmm.
I think this year, if he can come in with a full preseason and just smash it out from the gates, I reckon there's a chance that Marić could return to his scoring of 2013, was it?
12.
When 12, no. Sorry, yeah. 2012, when he averaged 113 across the season.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't mind Marić as a pick.
This show could be pretty short, mate. It could be just talk about four players: Goldstein, Marić, Nick Nat, and Bell Chambers. They're the only ones that really interest me. Marić, huge run home when the Tigers were doing well in the second half of the season and he got fit. His durability is definitely the biggest concern. Like Faz said, I think there's a really good chance that he could return to close to 2012 numbers. Does present some value at his price. Could definitely see him being a really good pick this year.
Mm-hmm. Agree with you guys. With these ruckmen, any guy that presents potential upside trumps all the guys that potentially are heading straight down. So 100% agree with you guys. Graham Calabro. Minson, any chance of getting back to 2013 form? What do you reckon about Minson, guys? He's obviously another one of these potential upside picks at 501,000. Let me just quickly read out his hit out to advantage numbers before I cue you guys in. 7.7, 11.9, 9.3.
From what I've read, NAB challenge last week against Richmond, he got soundly beaten by Hampson. So that's not a good sign in my books. And I know it's only NAB challenge stuff, but I don't really like the look of Minson. He's a bit too expensive for me. I don't think he presents enough value for me to take a risk on him.
He's averaged over 95. Not a chance in hell.
Okay. But do you remember how we were picking rucks last year, though, Mark? We picked Jacobs because we pretty much got down to the fact that there was nobody else really playing Sol Rock. And Jacobs kind of edged himself into our teams and into lock status for us because of that. Is that not at all tempting enough to wiggle you over?
No, not really. Bulldogs have lost their best two players in Griffin and Libba. I don't see them necessarily doing great this year.
That's a very good point, Mark. Losing out on the valuable clearance partnerships will probably hit out to advantage numbers this year. Next guy that we're going to talk about, Ben McAvoy. Plays for Hawthorn last year. It was a pretty poor season. He only averaged 89.8. I think we've talked about this guy averaging 105-plus before. Obviously, scoring changes are going to affect things this year. Hare will continue to get older and maybe drop off at some stage. McAvoy, maybe another season at the Hawks. Can he return to elite level for Ruckman?
Maybe, but not in my consideration. I mean, he was at the start of last year, but he does have some durability issues. I guess he is one run Ruckman that doesn't really rely on the taps to get his points, but there's a bit of rotation policy down at the Hawks. There's a few Ruckman that'll probably get games, and so from that perspective, I'm not really interested in McAvoy.
He's only averaged 6.8, 5.5, and 4.9 hitouts to advantage over the last few years, and that's a bit of a red flag with the scoring changes this year. So we'll move on to the next guy on the run sheet. Question is from Rojo Fitness PT. Nick Knapp is an obvious R1 choice with the ability to score big this season. At his price point, it's a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely, no-brainer. That's probably not a no-brainer, the fact that he missed the game against the Indigenous All-Stars with a stiff back, a back complaint, didn't play against Carlton, is in some doubt to play in the next NAB game. With that said, he's had a really strong preseason. The cock's going, there's just so many good reasons to pick Nick Knapp. Underpriced, he's shown that he can average heaps before. Yeah, I think he's a pretty obvious pick this year. And look, the main thing that worries me is that he'll miss a game or two, which is making me potentially pick Bell Chambers as well as a forward. So that's the only thing really worrying me. But other than that, I think he's pretty obvious.
Faz, we haven't had your thoughts on Nick Knapp yet. What do you reckon about him?
Yeah, I'm just surprised to see, as you mentioned there, Mark, that you're a bit concerned about Nick Knapp missing a few games. In the last five seasons, apart from 2013, where he only played 11 games, he's played 20 or above in each of the other four seasons. So that's pretty good numbers from a guy that I would have thought to myself as quite an injury risk, really. Really like watching Nick Knapp play. That's a big thing, is that it's going to be fun to have him in our teams because he's just such a superstar with the stuff that he does around the grounds that a lot of players just can't do. At his price of 488, that's the cheapest guy we've mentioned so far, I think, in this kind of premium bracket.
So you think he's a no-brainer too?
Probably, yeah. I'd like to see him play something in the NAB Challenge just to make sure that his back's all right. I'm not looking at it for scores so much, just to make sure that the back problem isn't more than what's been let out so far.
So my thoughts on Nick Knapp has probably changed a little bit since we first did that preseason.
Whoa,
big call coming up. Yeah, he's no longer a lock for me, Mark. So he's not a no questions asked guy for me. I think the fact that he has a few concerns over him probably means that I'm going to actually look at him instead of just locking him down. So Mark, is that blasphemy then?
Yes, it is.
All right, I'll shut up and lock him in there. Next question from Tim's Trading, playing the devil's advocate. If Nick Knapp has more preseason injury issues, is Zach Smith a starting option instead? So Tim is starting to already look at backup options from Nick Knapp. He's so worried about his body. What do you guys reckon about Zach Smith? He obviously came into contention after his good performance over the weekend. He clearly wants that number one spot over Tom Nichols. And last year, obviously, still returning from injury, still getting his groove back after an ACL. So this year, be looking to hit it full on and really establish himself. Are you a fan, Mark?
Pretty big fan of Zach Smith in general, I guess. Having him in his rookie year and watching him closely and seeing how much potential he had, and he hasn't really lived up to it since then because he's suffered from injuries and played 16 games, 8 games, and 10 games in the last 3 years. There is a bit of competition, as you said, for Ruckman at the Gold Coast with Nichols, Dixon, and Peter Wright will come through at some stage. Just not sure that he can really get up to the premium level that you're wanting. You're paying a bit of an iffy price at that early 400. So I think I'd probably lean towards maybe even Lysette ahead of him just because of the dual position eligibility. I don't think he's a terrible pick. And I think that he's right to do some planning in case Nick Knapp doesn't come up. Yeah, I don't think he's got quite enough scoring potential in him.
It's the Nichols issue for me that I'm most worried about, because from my reading of the prospectus, they have never played a game together in the same side. So it seems like those two players could still be competing with each other for the number one ruck spot at the Gold Coast. So it'll be interesting just to watch the remainder of their NAB Challenge games to see whether Nichols gets the go ahead of him in any of those, or what the planning is with that.
Yeah, Leuenberger is the other mid-pricer that Mark and I were considering. Faz, thoughts on Leuenberger, seeing as you haven't talked about him before?
Yeah, well, he's obviously got some good scoring history behind him. He's averaged around the 100 mark in 2011 and 2013. Good seasons, and that, I think they're his last two full seasons that weren't injury interrupted. The big question with Louis is, how does Stefan Martin impact things? Because I think from memory last season, Louis was fit and ready to come back, but was kept in the reserves playing in the NIAFL because Martin was just playing so well that they didn't want to drop him out of the side. And then in the final game of the year, Martin played as a ruck rover, scored very well. It's just going to be hard to see how that's going to go. Hopefully we get a bit of NAB Challenge exposure where they're both playing in the side together and we can see what Lepic has got planned for the two of them.
Mark, this dynamic's actually been questioned a lot throughout Facebook and Twitter. Your thoughts?
Look, I think that I was on the mid-price strategy if I had the choice between Cruiser and Leuenberger. Cruiser going down, really disappointing. Leuenberger, I'm just not quite as excited about for the reasons that you've mentioned, and also the fact that Jonathan Brown retiring, they don't exactly have a whole lot of big forwards to kick to, so you might find both these guys played, but having to spend a fair bit of time down forward. So I think that he's probably going to struggle to average as much as I would like, and really probably has a ceiling of about 100 at this stage, given that setup, and that's not bad, but you'd have to be upgrading him around the buys.
And that's the other issue with the buys, is that he's also at round 11s. So that kind of hurts with our options in terms of buy upgrades.
Yeah, certainly in terms of a mid-pricer that you're looking to upgrade. I think being in the first round buy, a lot of the time just kind of rules you out, because you really want to be trading around the buy. It saves you a donut. It makes a player so much more valuable. I'm assuming you guys think that Stefan Martin is overpriced. Do we have anybody who's on the Martin bandwagon? He's at 600K after a season of 112 playing 12 games last year.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, I got to leave him behind, unfortunately.
All right, that wraps up all the rucks. We'll do a bit of a summation. In terms of forward ruck options, at the moment, all three of us recommend picking a ruck forward if you're going to pick one in your forward line so that you can provide cover for your rucks. If you are struggling to find ruckman and you want to start more forwards, the other option is to start a forward ruck at R2, but also start a rookie R3 ruck forward so that you can swap that rookie out to your forward line and swap a forward to a ruck in case of injury. In terms of mid-price versus premiums, I think we all seem to be trending toward premiums as the preseason is rolling on. On all our watch lists is probably all those mid-prices, but increased focus, I think, especially compared to the start of the season, on these premium ruckmen, and we'll be looking for probably the best value guys considering all the scoring changes. Do you guys roughly agree with that? Any extra thoughts to that?
I agree with that general strategy. I've been enjoyed doing the research for this show because I've got it pretty sorted now, I think, down to just a few different options.
Who are your four again, Mark?
I'm looking at probably Goldstein, Nick Nat, Bell Chambers, and Marich at this stage.
All right, so those of you guys looking to make your decisions easy, just pick out of those four. They're FB Donkey approved, all right? Faz, your thoughts? Anything extra?
I like what you're saying about the strategy. The only problem now is I've got to find the cash to move from that mid-price strategy to the premium. So, yeah. And of those guys that you mentioned, Mark, it's Ivan Marich that's got me most interested, I think.
All right. Well, we hope that helped you out. As you guys can tell, thoughts are sort of changing as preseason progresses, and we'll keep you up to date with where we sit. But at the moment, that's our general approach to the rocks, and hopefully the preseason continues to confirm our thoughts. In the meantime, the rest of our preseason schedule, next week we're going to go to the halfway mark of the NAB series, doing a little bit of a review there. Then we're going to go to the back line. That's the last positional show of the year. Then we're going to move to a final review of the entire NAB series, including rookies to start for your team. And then the final show of the preseason is a recap show, update you of our latest thoughts to send you into season 2015. And again, on Facebook and on Twitter, thank you so much for your support. We've reached 3,000 Twitter followers and 1,500 Facebook fans on facebook.com/supercoachcoach and at Supercoach Coach on Twitter. Remember to head over to our Facebook page and join our giveaway competition. We're giving away a free AFL live pass. And Faz is just showing me we've just hit 3,000 followers, guys. So live celebration. Whoop, whoop. Head over to our Facebook page, join the competition. It was worth $90, subscription for the year. We'll be asking, what is your funniest trade story? And whoever gets the most comments for the duration of the competition will win the AFL live pass. And
good prize, mate.
Mm-hmm. Last reminder, next Monday, vets applications close. So those of you putting that off, make sure you get that in before then. We won't be accepting any more new applications after that. We need to finalize our leagues. And next Friday, Supercoach Division League 1 codes will go out. So your last chance is Thursday night to register your interest for our ranked leagues. We're getting a lot of interest there and we should be very competitive. Again, that information at supercoachcoach.com.au together with our open leagues and Supercoach Coach group. That was really, really good to have Faz back on the show. Really good to have a third point of view, Faz.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been very enjoyable. I have lots to go home and think about now with my team. And yeah, hopefully I'll see you guys again shortly over the preseason. And yeah, good luck to all the coaches out there.
Mm-hmm. Mark, any final thoughts for the show?
Sure, hopefully I'm a little bit more excited about the NAB challenge after seeing some of the young bombers run out.
Well, that's it for me. I'm sad to say the Cats didn't get a win on the weekend, but, you know, it was good to see Nakia Cocker too, Darcy Lang, and I'm right back into Supercoach now. Like you said, Mark, hopefully you and Faz enjoy Essendon playing in some form on the weekend. At least you get to see the red and black run out. Enjoy picking your preseason teams this week, guys. Obviously, a lot more changes happening now that we're seeing all this preseason form. I know James Kelly, Jimmy Bartel, those sorts of names are coming around from the Geelong game I watched, and we'll be sure to update you on that. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for all the support. Cheers. See you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.